storage is a real cost. And I told you about a customer that I have that had to buy another building or lease another building and heat it, cool it, and all that kind of stuff. And so storage is a real valid cost. Shrinkage, what is shrinkage? That's stuff that disappears. Sales guys go in there and say, hey, I'm going to take this and I'll get an order for it. You know, and they bring it to a customer and you know, they never get an order and I think it's just off the records. So this is a big cost. Whether it's totally this amount, the more inventory you have, obviously you're going to have a bigger number there. Now, I remember in GE, when Bob Schaefer was running things, we had these distributor loading programs, which is great for sales managers. And we'd say to a distributor, if you want to take our line, you have to buy $50,000 worth of initial inventory. Or we would have, like, some new product would come out, and if you want to participate in this new product, you have to give us an order for $20,000, something like that. And it made Bob Schaefer look really good, and our general manager at the time really good. Everybody looked really good. But all that stuff went out into the distributors' warehouses without the proper planning and so on to move it. And inventory is a major anchor for a distributor. And it's one of the most horrible things that you can actually do to a distributor is load them up with inventory. So if you're involved in dealing with distributors that have fragile financials, you have to be very, very careful in how much inventory you want to have them have. And it's been my experience that it's better to let them kind of limp along until they get some customers that you know, start ordering from them, and then they could put some inventory on, and trying to be generous to them in terms of how you handle that inventory, maybe in taking it back or whatever. But a sales guy, just one second, Mike, if a sales guy, he wants all the inventory in the world. So if the sales guys are running a thing, the sales guys are going to load it all up, and they'll say, oh, I can sell all this shit. If you get it in stock, I can sell it. But then if, you know, when the Grim Reaper comes around, they're saying, well, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't sell that, and things changed, and all this kind of stuff. So you can't let sales guys keep the knob on the inventory thing, because generally they'll get it out of hand and it'll become a real problem. Mike, yeah?
Just like you can't let accounts run a company.
Well, that's true. That's
that's not what I wanted to get at.
Yeah.
You said that you thought there was an opportunity to move who controlled the inventory levels that would make it more advantageous. Who would, obviously, who, if somebody had to have inventory, who would have the lowest cost?
Well, who do you think would have the lowest cost? Absolutely. The manufacturer's cost would be $50. So if Seiko decided, hey, we're going to put a consigned inventory in all of our distributors, in terms of the cost to the United States, the cost would be lower if Seiko owned the inventory. Okay? But then, because Seiko's only got $50 in the inventory. If the customer owns the inventory, the customer's got $100 into it, so costs are higher, because these costs, you can argue that these numbers are too high, but there is somewhere in here, there is a cost. So, but one of the problems with owning the inventory, which if a manufacturer owns it, you call it a consigned inventory. The inventory is consigned to the customer. You know, monitoring, you got to have systems, people counting it, you know, it goes up, goes down, you know, it becomes a real challenge. I think that, and I really don't know, because I haven't really given a lot of thought, but I'm guessing that, you know, the, what is it, IGA, or what are those big EWE and things that are got these monster operations going, I believe that they own inventory. And, you know, they could get deals. They could get deals, and that's probably, you know, somebody was looking at this kind of information and said, geez, there's an opportunity here, which I've often thought. And maybe what they did was they said, hey, maybe we'll go to a manufacturer and say, just ship it to us, and we're not going to pay you till we actually move it through to the customer. And effectively what that would be a consigned inventory, except the manufacturer doesn't have to mess with, you know, all the controlling of all the inventory and so on. And I'm not sure.
But isn't there the same risk there, John, with them taking the inventory and there's a downturn and that consigned inventory doesn't get bled off?
Anybody that owns inventory has a risk, absolutely. So if Ewe or these other guys, if they are handling the inventory, but I don't even know who owns that. Does the manufacturer own that inventory in these big? Huh?
The distributor, yeah.
The Ewe owns it.
It would be the.
Okay, then. Then
owns it and it's on consignment to the customer. The customer doesn't pay for it.
Okay. So then it's in there at $80 instead of being in there at $100, but it's not in at $50. So, but, you know, and I've talked to Bruce Belden about things like this, but, you know, everybody has been in this for too long. They're not going to change anything the way they do it. But it seemed to me like there was an opportunity here. But there's always a risk here, too. But, you know, maybe some financial guys could really sit down and look at it and, you know, really get into these costs and so on and figure out whether it makes any sense or not. I don't know. That's not for me to come up with. But you guys are the future. So maybe, you know, you'll see some opportunity here with an account someplace and put together a deal. I teach a course in negotiations. And one of the striking things that I found in this course is that something like 80% of all negotiated outcomes do not produce the best solutions to both parties.